So the age-old question is how to make all the trucks on the road always full of cargo. In Europe, by statistics, 25% of all the trucks are actually empty.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of Cloud UDU, the podcast that is focused on the real-life benefits of cloud technologies. This podcast is delivered to you by Revolgy. My name is Štěpán, and I am here with a special guest from Dispo Market, Nikola Balaban. Hello, Nikola. It's great to have you here today. How are you doing?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm good, and let's do this.
Perfect. So, could you please just at the beginning tell us a bit more about yourself? What are you doing now and what you did before you started the Dispo Market?
Okay, so I was born in Croatia, if I go from the beginning. So I came to study in Slovenia. So that's why I'm now in Slovenia. And from the beginning, like from 12 years of age, I knew either I will be an actor or an entrepreneur. So when I decided on my college, it was, I can be actor anytime that I want. Now all the actors that have academic diplomas will kill me because of this. And I chose to go to electrical engineering. With that, I then started doing some programming and all the computer science stuff, and then eventually graduated through some advancements in my companies and working in other startups to having my own startup. And now I'm here trying to make this thing work.
Okay, and are you still doing some acting, maybe like a hobby or something like that?
I was a little bit, but what I find the most difficult is to act not in your mother language. So I'm now in Slovenia, and I tried acting in Slovene, but the brain doesn't work the same. You really need to, right now I'm thinking in Slovenia because I'm 10 years here, but I cannot act in Slovenian because the synapses in your brain, I guess, don't work like that. And it's easier to express your emotions and feelings in your mother language than in other languages. So I think I would need more practice here to do it in English or in other languages.
Okay, that makes sense. So, you know, maybe in the future, you will make some good money on Dispo Market, and then you can just turn back to the acting.
Then I can act on the streets and don't care about that.
Okay. I also wanted to ask about one experience in your past. I saw that you spent quite some time in Outfit 7. So how it was, and do you have some passion for games, or was it just, let's say, like a normal job for you?
The game thing, okay, so I do play games and I like games. I am a gamer, not like a traditional gamer who plays World of Warcraft, more into single player mode, because I'm too competitive to play multiplayer, and then it goes, it takes my energy, not gives me energy. So I play a little bit more single player games and like that. And it was one thing that my mother always told me, stop playing games, you will never live out of them. And then when I saw the ad to go work in a gaming company, I was, I think, second year of college, to be a tester. I applied for a summer job and been there for 5 years. So there I started as a tester, and then I always wanted to be a programmer. And how to go from testing to programmer, I actually devised a program who automatically tests the games. So there was like a device farm where you plug it in onto that program, and it actually start testing all the games that we had at Outfit 7. So the Tamagotchi games, the My Talking Tom games, and all the cats and dogs. And that's how I came into the programming. And then I actually was the programmer for the big hit of I think 2020 or 2017. I'm not sure anymore with the years of My Talking Tom 2. So that was my last game that I actually did on and worked on. Okay. And Outfit was really a good experience of how a startup becomes a unicorn. So for me, I saw the startup grow from like 40 employees. I think I was there about 40th employee, to up about 350 and the acquisition and all the other stuff. So it was a really good experience for me to see what kind of a successful startup does look like, how the leadership goes there, how the culture is made, and how what are the hurdles when you're growing that fast, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. So now I'm interested to actually know how you came from Outfit 7 as a programmer to actually starting your own company in a, let's say, logistic business. Or was there some like middle step between that, or what was the story behind?
Yes. So as I said, I always knew I wanted to have my own company. The entrepreneurship was inside of me, let's say it like that. And I think the same time I started working in Outfit, I made a little group of my friends, like four or five of us, started working on our side projects, meeting every week at evenings and doing all kinds of projects. And that actually grew, and now we are 10 years working with those people, and two of them are actually my co-founders. So we were working together for 10 years on let's say we try to profile us as a group of engineers where you come to when you have like a crazy idea and you don't know how to do it. And it can be a hardware or software, whatever you do, you can come to us and we will do it. So because we have our own jobs and we do this on the evenings, we had the freedom of choosing the projects we wanted. And that's how we came across one project in logistics. So that was all planned, and we try to build up our community and our group and trust between us, the team, and to have the confidence that we know how to do hard assignments. And the thing that we are doing in logistics is an age-old question and a really hard question to solve. So that's like the go-to. And the other thing was that I went from Outfit, so I said from 40 to 350 employees. Then I chose to go to a startup where I was the third employee, and I was actually, let's say, CTO, the first in-house developer in that startup. And from there we went from 3 to like, let's say, 15, and we spread to other countries. So it was a little bit planned to see how the startup works from like 3 people to 350, and right now I have my own that we started from zero. So I try to now connect all the dots here.
Okay, makes sense. So before actually we move a bit forward, I think it's a good time to tell us more about what actually Dispo Market is, what you are doing, and what problem are we trying to solve.
Okay, yeah. So the age-old question is how to make all the trucks on the road always full of cargo. As we know, if there's a empty truck riding, there's a lot of expenses. So you have to pay the driver, you have to pay the expenses of the truck, and not to say the traffic jams that are coming because there's empty trucks on the road, and all the CO2 emission that is emitted into the air with no reason. And we are trying with algorithms and math, try to fill up this space and find where the humans could not do what now the computer can do. Because the problem was before that the logistics were not digitized, so it's a really old and traditional industry, and right now we are seeing really an advancements in digitalization, and we are starting to harness all this data coming in and actually use it. So we are the step when the industry is digitalized and then you start to using this data, we are doing that. So we are optimizing all the data we can to actually fill all the trucks on the road and make them full all the time. So that's our main goal. We know you cannot make it full all the time, but that's the main goal. Just for the perception, in Europe, by statistics, 25% of all the trucks are actually empty. So that's a huge number of empty space running around Europe for no reason. Not to say the revenue expenses because of that and all the rest.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, as you mentioned that logistics is quite like a very traditional industry. How it's for you know to actually like working with them and to bring some like you know really like I would say high tech solutions like I can imagine some you know machine learning behind some algorithms etc. Are they actually open to you know to talk to you to listen, or are you facing some challenges that they maybe don't understand technologies that well? They are maybe a bit like you know. resistant to changes?
Yeah, so that's actually our biggest challenge is how to come close to on all the traditional industry with something really complex and cutting edge. So we have the algorithms like for 6 months now. All that we are trying to do now is to make the product market fit to them. So they can see how can we infiltrate the process so they don't need to change a lot, but still have the benefits of all these new technologies. And this is where we have most of our work and energy into. But I must say, in this industry, when once you have a good result, you made friends for life. So it's like that. It's really hard to get into, really hard to do something. But when you do it, you are really in it, and everybody protects you. So it's a kind of that kind of community. Really harsh, really straightforward, really into your face. But when you're in it, then you are protected by all of these hard businessmen.
Yeah, makes sense. Also, I wanted to ask, you mentioned that you were like employee number three, and you started as a CTO or for like first developer. You are a CEO, right?
Yeah.
So first, I would like to ask, you know, for this like transition, and if you could tell us a bit more about, like what is your daily bread as a CEO? Because I can imagine that it's a lot of different stuff in a young startup. So yeah.
I now say like I always wanted an AI company, and when I got it, I could not go close to the programming. And then I wanted a lab, and when we opened the office, I'm never in the office. So it's like that. You want something, you get it, but then you cannot use it. You have to go forward. And this is the CEO business, I must say. And how I became the CEO from the CTO, we actually decided like 2 or 3 years ago that I'm forbidden to come close to the programming. And when we did that, our mindset really switched, because I didn't have work to do in the programming department or in the technology department, and that opened up a lot of time for me. And then I really found what the CEO should do, because I had a feeling I'm not doing anything and I had to do something. And that really propelled us to like a new level. We were not only a group of technology people who can do a lot of stuff. We are now really a company. So that was the change. And right now, my day to day is everything from invoicing, from legal, partnerships, customers, product. I try to keep the vision, keep the people motivated, and push forward. That's my biggest goal as a CEO. There are you can fall really easily into working a job that is 2 hours of work, but as a CEO, you must not do that. That's the biggest thing. You really need to focus on the important things and try to make your company that you don't have to do that stuff, but you need to decide on everything, something like that. To keep the vision, to keep the resources. And if I get a meeting in 2 hours, I need to go to that meeting. So I must not have a big chunks of time devoted to some kind of process. That because, not because I don't want to do it, because I always need to have like free hands to jump around.
Makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. We are in this business for some time, right? You I think it's like maybe a year or a bit more than you started. Mm-hmm. So if now you check what you did so far, what do you think that actually worked well? What you maybe would have done differently? And actually maybe also where are you standing right now? So yeah, you mentioned that there are like problems to actually get infiltrated to this industry, but do you already have some customers with who you are working with, you whom you are testing stuff, etc.?
Okay, so yeah, what would I do different? There's always things I would do different, but I'm quite happy how it went. It's always like we should do this sooner, we should make something better,
yeah.
But our pace. I mean, the company will show how good we are. That's how I look at it. So, We started with like 400 customers sign up on our website, but for free. And now we have this pool of leads, and we are working on them. And we, like I must say, we did like 3 pivots in the last 6 months. Not like major pivots, but how to present our solution to the customers. And now we are at the third one. We are working with the clients and testing stuff. We actually made a pilot project that proved that we can get like 2,000 euros per month per truck more than they actually have it now. Mm-hmm. We made some partnerships, like strategic partnerships. I think I must not say it yet, but it will be out in a few weeks, the partnerships. So we can get a lot more data and a lot more knowledge to learn our algorithm. So we are focusing on getting the data to learn our algorithm, and on the other side to fine tune the product so the transport industry can actually use it. And I think if you ask me, in 3 weeks we will already be in the revenue. So that's our milestone right now. We are just at the brink of getting those first contracts signed.
Nice. Okay, so yeah, fingers crossed, and it sounds good. actually, a bit connected with this one is that I checked your website, and there is written that your project or the Dispo Market is somehow like co-financed by the Republic of Slovenia and European Union funds or something like that. Are there some specifics behind this, like behind basically being co-founded by the governmental institutions, or is it kind of like a normal thing?
So in Slovenia, there are like 3 levels of financing from government for startups. And we went for the first one, which is the easiest one. And a lot of companies start with that. So it's like not a grant. It's you don't need to repay the government back for this first step. The next steps are more like grants or equities, but we didn't go into that. So we don't have really big commitments to the government. Just we need to have some like employment rate, how much people need to employ, and a little bit about going to market. So that's the money was for developing the product to go to the market. But we actually got the private investors too, and this money from government helped us to survive those first months to actually get the funding. And that's like a safety pillow that you know you will fall to if everything goes wrong. Of course, right now we are 5 people and the expenses are really bigger than at the beginning, but this was like a cushion, and I must say it's really a good thing in Slovenia. And unfortunately now in 2023, all those grants are actually closed because of the situation and everything. So good luck to the other startups starting now, but we all know the time now will be a little bit more harder to start a company. I think we were the last train to go to the free money stuff.
Okay. Well, so hopefully it will be back soon.
But there is still money. There is still money in the market, but there's no free money anymore. That's the stuff.
Understand. You mentioned that in the past, like a lot of Slovenian startups were actually using these fundings. Yeah. Could you maybe tell us a bit more about the Slovenian startup scene as how you see it? You know what. I don't know, what are the changes? Who are the main players there? How we work together? Because I think also a lot of things changed over last like years, at least from my like perception to be quite like the distant. So how you actually feel it to be part of it?
Yeah, we really like the Slovenian ecosystem. I think we came to the incubator here in Slovenia a year ago, and we have some good support with mentors and let's say office space. So we got really, really good stuff to start up your business. And Slovenia was doing really good 5 years ago. I think that's when 6 years ago, that's when the real boom started. And how I see it develop now, I see that Croatia is keeping up. So Croatia is starting to rise now, and it's a neighboring country. And a lot of VCs and angel investors are actually investing in both countries. And together we have three unicorns now. And I see that this connection will have a big impact. And a lot of unicorns are fresh, like Rimac and Infobip from Croatia. The unicorn from Slovenia is Outfit 7, so it's a little bit older unicorn right now. And this fresh money and fresh people thinking about the entrepreneurship will bring this to a next level, I hope. That's how I see it. I see it as a connection of neighboring countries and creating a really strong South to Central Eastern European hub here. Because the neighboring countries like Bosnia and Serbia has a lot of good manpower, and there's a lot of investment in Serbia too. So, and we know the gaming industry is strong in Serbia. So there are a lot of smart engineering, mostly people here, and the funds are right now coming in. I just hope the people will change their attitude towards the entrepreneurship, because as you know, we are from the communist bloc, and it still needs some time to change the minds of the people, but it's happening. I'm really happy to see that it's happening now, that the youngers are not afraid of doing stuff. And I'm really happy about that, that I can see the change happening. I'm actually involved too in mentoring the younger ones now. I really enjoy that and really want to see that happen. That's actually my second passion. Not just the dispo market, but my second passion is to bring all of these exciting things that you can do as a young person right now in the world to actually go and do it.
Okay, that's really nice. Yeah, I live in Estonia, so here is also like the startup community is like super strong. Yeah. The whole like Estonian mafia thing and stuff like that. So yeah, that's nice to see that the new hub is being created in Slovenia and Croatia.
So Slovenia learned a lot from Estonia, I think. A lot of those kind of smaller countries try to copy the Estonian part of doing startups. They're doing really good.
Great. Okay, so as our actually podcast is called Cloud Do You Do, I have also a few questions around the technology. So could you please tell us a bit more about what is the infrastructure behind the dispo market right now? Maybe what providers are you using, and what are like the key parts of the solution? Of course, you don't have to tell all the details. It's like your secret sauce, but a bit more about how it's built and how you put things together.
Okay, so I got this question from my CTO, so I have them written the answers here. I know how the infrastructure looks like, but for the acronyms and the real words I will use is we are now totally on the AWS infrastructure. The biggest thing for us was to create the development, the staging and the production environments for an AI company. So that means that we need to have a support for development to create some kind of learning algorithms on one side, and create some kind of backend system, and to create some kind of front-end systems. So to divide those three, we really sought for a good solution, and we found it with AWS. And right now, we are using the CloudFront service, and I can see here EC2 virtual servers, and the database RDS service. So I put it like this, but what really helped us is the support from the Amazon that we got, and from Revology, because we needed to transfer our systems from the other server. And this transfer plus the upgrade really went smooth, and right now we are really happy to have it, because it gives us a lot of let's put it simply, if we have an algorithm that is really complex and it's taking it 1 minute and a half to bring you one order, and we needed to wrap it up before we actually optimize the algorithm, we now can just spruce up the servers, and it will bring the time to a half. And that's the flexibility we were looking for in a startup, and that's why we decided to go with the AWS. Not to say the benefits and bonuses for startups that are giving.
Okay. You already mentioned it. So did you receive some like benefits, I don't know, credits or something like that from the AWS to help you to start things?
Yeah. So we got the 10,000 credits for the next 2 years, which open up our research and development. Let's say it like that. So that's some kind of money that you can use on really a lot of different aspects of your business. Especially, we are three co-founders, which are developers, and we can really use all of this. Resources. We know how to use them, but mostly for making our algorithms faster. So until we get revenue, we would never have opportunity to have those kind of servers. And this is giving us that opportunity to play with some powerful machines.
Okay, makes sense. I'm not sure if the right question for you, but I will try to ask. Do you have experience with also some other like larger cloud providers, maybe from your like past jobs, or?
We started. I was in Israel last year for an accelerator. So I was in Tel Aviv for 2 months, and the partner of the accelerator was Oracle Cloud. We started with them, but we saw that it wasn't, the transition wasn't going very smoothly. And right at the end of that, working with Oracle, the AWS came into it. And then we saw that this would go much more smoothly. And as we see now, the Oracle dropped their cloud for startups program. So I think we decided good for now. At the past, in past companies, mostly I encountered the big data stuff at Outfit 7 with cloud infrastructure, with Google infrastructure. So I know that Google is good for big data. I don't know about AWS. So that's the cloud that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You already mentioned that you know, for you to, or one of the biggest advantages of AWS is it's kind of like a flexibility and you know, availability of almost unlimited performance when you simply need it. Do you see there some like other aspects that are like really important when you are building the infrastructure as a startup, except this let's say flexibility?
Yeah. So here, the CTO said like speed and resilience. That's his main thing. So I can see that he's focused on making our algorithms as fast as they can, and as robust as they can. So the resilience thing, I think he set up really good backups, and it's managed backups on AWS that make us like create an infrastructure of a company that I know from Outfit 7, like similar, in a month. That's the biggest thing I can see the benefit. And to have all the backups, all the data stored, all some kind of, let's say, safety pins that are good for a developer to have, we had it in a month. That I know that we're building Outfit 7 for a year, something like that. So I can see that the time, as the time progresses, these things are really available to a lot of people. And if you know a little bit about technology, you can really harness it.
Okay, yeah, fully agree with you. Before we move to another part of our next part of our podcast, could you tell us a bit more about the, you know, kind of like a long-term vision with the Dispo market? So where would you like to see the company in, let's say, like 2-3 years maybe from now? What are the like key milestones for you on this journey? And so,
okay, so if we are filling up the trucks with an AI, that actually means that we are some kind of creating a dispatcher for like an AI dispatcher for these trucks. So I think a lot of manual labor or hard labor that dispatchers are working right now. So they have to think about how to calculate how much empty space do I have. So if I go to Munich or to Berlin, which one is better? That kind of stuff will all be automated by us, I hope. And we are trying to be like the biggest European provider of empty space. So that's the way I see it going. So if you get customers, good customers, and we get their free space and we fill it up, we are actually the dispatcher of this free space. And I see that AI will take over all the hard technical parts of doing the routing and filling up the trucks. And the people who are working right now on that will actually can be more focused on working with other people and doing the connections between the businesses and the partnerships, and let us do the all the hard things about how and when will some kind of truck go. So I see us there as if you want to send the bicycle from Amsterdam to Rijeka, you come to us and we will find the best price because it will be optimized as it can be. It will never be 100%, but with these optimizations, we can really lower the prices of transport and make people live really better.
Yeah, nice vision. Actually, last question regarding the technology. Are you using some specific like maps provider behind it? Because I can imagine that part of the algorithms will be also the routing and the maps. So are you using, Google or someone else for that?
Yeah, this is this partnerships I was talking about before. I'm not sure I can say it right now, but yeah, okay. We have some kind of maps provider. It's not Google. It's more specific for the trucks because okay. Trucks cannot go through every bridge. There are some kind of road closures. They cannot go through center of some cities. Mm-hmm. So we have a provider that does this for us and gives us the routing.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a large world provider for 30 years old. First competitor to Google in the transport industry.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know who it is, and I will not say it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Is there
it was
anything
yesterday? So I must not go through a lot of business. Yeah.
No worries.
It will be published in 2 weeks. I would say.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like also to share with our listeners? About this full market or anything else?
If you have trucks and you have problems with filling up your last 20% of space or 30%, feel free to contact us. Always the selling now, right? Because
good. We should definitely do some advertisement for logistic companies after this episode.
Yeah, but of course, if anybody. We are always open to share our knowledge. We try to set up our company to really help others. We know that we are working on hard problems. So if anybody wants to join us and competing with us, it's be my guest because it's a really hard thing to do. So I'm openly telling everybody if they need some help, we can always help. Reach out to us. We are open to that. And I think with this kind of connection, it can only benefit both of us that kind of stuff. So that's I would like to add.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, so let's move to next part of our podcast. It's our like little tradition. It's kind of like a game. We are calling it "Explain Me Like I Am Five," and basically, I will give you like some words or terms, and you should try to explain them to me like I'm 5 years old. Let's see how it will go and let's try it. So first one would be efficient transportation.
Okay, so efficient transportation means that the dispatcher, the guy who organizes the trucks where they go, the driver and the customers are all happy at the end of the day. So that means the efficient transport. If the truck is not full, the dispatcher will not be happy. If the driver needs to drive through rough terrain and everything, the driver will not be happy, or the traffic jams are there. And if the goods are not come at the right time at the customer will not be happy. So if you make happy both of those three, you have an efficient transport.
Okay, makes sense. Actually connected with this one is logistics.
And logistics is just that. So if I want to have a bike from Amsterdam to Rijeka or to Ljubljana, logistics is a thing who tells me who will do it, how will they do it. So you come to a logistic company and say, I need something from point A to point B. They do the rest.
Okay, Okay, good guys.
Yeah.
Next one is CEO.
Okay, this is a little bit harder to explain, but for a five-year-old. Okay, I would say I'm the carer of the team, and I have to make sure that the CEO have to make sure that all the people in the team are know why are they doing something. So you need to take care of them. On the other side, you need to give them the purpose in the company. So that's the main goal of the CEO, because one person cannot drive the whole company to some kind of success, and the team is here, and the team is here to do that, and your job is to make sure they can to enable them to do that. And to enable them, you have to give them the vision and the appropriate environment to do so.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, imagine that I'm 5 years and I think I would understand.
It's really hard to explain a vision to 5 year old, but yeah. I can say like a parent, and the child is the team. So the children are my team, and I'm the parent. And I will not go to the college instead of you, but I will make you love the college. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, nice one. And the last will be actually Dispo Markets, so your company.
Yeah, so our company is for a five-year-old. Okay, a lot of mathematics, if a five-year-old knows what mathematics is. and a lot of searching exploring the data and exploring the trucks. That's Dispo Market as a product, and Dispo Market as a team. Our company is called Knedl. I don't know. Does it sound? But Knedl means dumpling in Slovenian, and we are little dumplings. That's how we are called ourselves. So if you come to Knedl, you are dumpling with us. You have different flavors. And we try to make people happy.
Okay, yeah, that's really great. Actually, Knedl is a dumpling also in Czech, and I would say in more like Slavic languages. Oh yeah, I think it's a really nice name for the company.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. It was fun. Before we move to basically closing this episode, I would like to ask you if you have some books or media or other, let's say, like channels that you are following and that you would recommend also to our listeners to follow. It might be connected with the technology, the startup ecosystem, or anything else you like, actually.
Yeah, so I don't actually like follow a person specific. I can tell you my ways of getting news. Let's say for this, I like to read news in the morning, and I read news from Croatia, Slovenia, and the world, let's say like that world. And what I try to do is always try to find both sides of the story. So I have two outlets in Croatia. That's one is more left-wing, one is more right-wing. For example, for the Ukrainian stuff, I try to find the news from both of the sides and try to find my own truth. So that's the way I try to do my getting to know what's happening in the world in the morning. And that's my half an hour with coffee in the morning, going through the same news in four different ways. So that's how I get my daily dose of the news and try to find what's my truth, because we all know there's no truth, the global truth. I try to find my own truth, and that's my way of doing the media outlets. Don't trust anyone, but read everybody, like something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no political correctness with me, so everything goes. But I will choose my own truth.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's a good tip. Yeah. Do you remember the last book you read, actually?
The last I was reading. So the way I do books and stuff like that is that most of the time I come to a problem that I don't know a lot about. So as a CEO from the technology side, I read like Clean Code, The Pragmatic Programmer. those two books are the definition of how to be a programmer today. And if you don't read those books, you will have a really harder time to become like a senior programmer. So that's two books: The Pragmatic Programmer and Clean Code, in that succession. So first The Pragmatic Programmer, then Clean Code. Read that. If you don't read that, I'm sorry. That one. But as a CEO, then I come to like problems with marketing or with the product market fit. So when we try to do the product market fit with the customers, when we had the algorithms, I read the product-led book. It's like the whole movement, let's say it like that. And you don't really need to follow the book as word by word or follow the whole movement, but you just take the stuff that you are working on right now and you can implement it right away. So that's the way I'm doing with the books. And yeah, so Pragmatic Programmer, all those stuff was when I'm trying to be the better programmer. Then I wanted to do the better product market fit. I did the product led, and right now I'm reading the MOM test. I know that I had to read it a long time before, but right now I can see that the best thing that we need to do now is get information from our customers. So I take a book like the MOM test and try to go through it, where I can immediately implement the knowledge that I get it from it. So that's my way of doing it.
Yeah, MOM test, it's really a good one. So I also read it a couple of times, actually. It's helping a lot. You mentioned the product led. So actually, this is your kind of like a go-to-market strategy. So the product-led growth mostly.
Yeah. If you can see on our webpage, it's not a lot of things written there. It's mostly done so when we come to a meeting to our customers to show them the value of the product as soon as possible. So that's why it's just a page with a little bit of text. Here you have the demo and here you can register. So you go to the demo and you experience the value as soon as possible. So you have one click to the value. That's what we get from it. And actually it helped us to create a new product with that, because we started testing this and they said, okay, this doesn't work. This I don't like. This is not the value for me. And we tweaked a little bit, but the speed of getting the feedback from the customer, because they see the value that we are trying to show them at the second step or first step, that's the thing that we took a lot from that book.
Okay, cool. I will then after finishing the podcast, I will then share with you some other materials for the product-led growth, because it's also the thing we are trying to adopt. Okay, Nikola, thank you very much. It was really lovely to meet you and have you there today as a guest. By the way, we are Revolgy, a leading European cloud partner with teams around the globe. We provide professional managed services to your projects on GCP or AWS. We typically help make the life of mostly digital native companies in the cloud a bit easier. You can check our website, revolgy.com, or our LinkedIn or other social media. And also definitely make sure to follow Nikola and Dispo Market on the LinkedIn. Check their website, even if, as you said, there's not much information, but still. And thank you very much for listening. And see you next time. Take care.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.